Chapter 156. Showing how the golden dustman helped to scatter dust, and all the first bewilderment of her wonder. The most bewilderingly wonderful thing to Bella was the shining countenance of Mr. Boffin. That his wife should be joyous, open-hearted, and genial, or that her face should express every quality that was large and trusting, and no quality that was little or mean, was accordant with Bella's experience. But, that he, with a perfectly beneficent air and a plump rosy face, should be standing there, looking at her and John, like some jovial good spirit, was marvelous. For, how had he looked when she last saw him in that very room? It was the room in which she had given him that piece of her mind at parting, and what had become of all those crooked lines of suspicion, avarice, and distrust, that twisted his visage then. Mrs. Boffin seated Bella on the large ottoman, and seated herself beside her, and John her husband seated himself on the other side of her, and Mr. Boffin stood beaming at everyone, and everything he could see, with surpassing jollity and enjoyment. Mrs. Boffin was then taken with a laughing fit of clapping her hands, and clapping her knees, and rocking herself to and fro, and then with another laughing fit of embracing Bella, and rocking her to and fro both fits, of considerable duration. Old lady, apostrophe said Mr. Boffin, at length, if you don't begin somebody else must. Apostrophe, I may going to begin, naughty, my dear, apostrophe returned Mrs. Boffin. Only it isn't easy for a person to know where to begin when a person is in this state of delight and happiness. Bella, my dear, tell me, who's this? Apostrophe, apostrophe, who is this? Apostrophe, apostrophe, repeated Bella. My husband. Apostrophe, ah. But tell me his name, dearie. Apostrophe, cried Mrs. Boffin. Rokesmith. Apostrophe, no, it ain't. Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried Mrs. Boffin, clapping her hands, and shaking her head. Not a bit of it. Apostrophe, Hanford then, apostrophe, suggested Bella. No, it ain't. Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried Mrs. Boffin, again clapping her hands and shaking her head. Not a bit of it. Apostrophe, at least, his name is John, I suppose? Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Bella. Ah, I should think so, dearie. Apostrophe, cried Mrs. Boffin. I should hope so. Many and many is the time I have called him by his name of John. But what's his other name, his true other name? Give a guess, my pretty. Apostrophe, apostrophe, I can't guess, apostrophe, said Bella, turning her pale face from one to another. I could, apostrophe, cried Mrs. Boffin, and what's more, I did. I found him out, all in a flash as I may say, one night. Didn't I, naughty? Apostrophe, eh? That the old lady did. Apostrophe, said Mr. Boffin, with stout pride in the circumstance. Harkee to me, dearie, apostrophe, pursued Mrs. Boffin, taking Bella's hands between her own, and gently beating on them from time to time. It was after a particular night, when John had been disappointed as he thought in his affections. It was after a night, when John had made an offer to a certain young lady, and the certain young lady had refused it. It was after a particular night, when he felt himself cast away like, and had made up his mind, to go seek his fortune. It was the very next night. My Naughty wanted a paper out of his secretary's room, and I says to Naughty, I am going by the door, and I'll ask him for it. I tapped at his door, and he didn't hear me. I looked in, and saw him a-sitting lonely by his fire, brooding over it. He chanced to look up with a pleased kind of smile in my company when he saw me, and then in a single moment every grain of the gunpowder that had been lying sprinkled thick about him ever since I first set eyes upon him as a man at the bower, took fire. Too many a time had I seen him sitting lonely when he was a poor child, to be pitied, heart and hand. Too many a time had I seen him in need of being brightened up with a comforting word. Too many and too many a time to be mistaken, when that glimpse of him come at last. No, no. I just makes out to cry, I know you now. You're John. and he catches me as I drops. So what? Apostrophe says Mrs. Boffin, breaking off in the rush of her speech to smile most radiantly. Might you think by this time that your husband's name was dear? Apostrophe, apostrophe, not, apostrophe, returned Bella, with quivering lips. Not Armin? That's not possible. Apostrophe, apostrophe, don't tremble. Why not possible, dearie, when so many things are possible? Apostrophe, apostrophe, demanded Mrs. Boffin, in a soothing tone. He was killed, apostrophe, gasped Bella. Thought to be, apostrophe, said Mrs. Boffin. But if ever John Harmon drew the breath of life on earth, that is certainly John Harmon's arm round your waist now, my pretty. If ever John Harmon had a wife on earth, that wife is certainly you. If ever John Harmon and his wife had a child on earth, that child is certainly this. Apostrophe, by a master stroke of secret arrangement, the inexhaustible baby here appeared at the door, suspended in midair by invisible agency. Mrs. Boffin, plunging at it, brought it to Bella's lap, where both Mrs. and Mr. Boffin, as the saying is, took it out of the inexhaustible in a shower of caresses. It was only this timely appearance that kept Bella from swooning. This, and her husband's earnestness in explaining further to her how it had come to pass that he had been supposed to be slain, and had even been suspected of his own murder, also, how he had put a pious thought upon her which had preyed upon his mind, as the time for its disclosure approached, lest she might not make full allowance for the object with which it had originated, and in which it had fully developed. But bless ye, my beauty! Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried Mrs. Boffin, taking him up short at this point, with another hearty clap of her hands. It wasn't John, only that was in it. We was all of us in it. Apostrophe, I don't, apostrophe, said Bella, looking vacantly from one to another, yet understand apostrophe, of course you don't, my dearie, apostrophe, exclaimed Mrs. Boffin. How can you till you're told? So now I am a going to tell you. So you put your two hands between my two hands again, apostrophe, cried the comfortable creature, embracing her, with that blessed little picture lying on your lap, and you shall be told all the story. Now, I'm a-going to tell the story. Once, twice, three times, and the horses is off. Here they go. When I cries out that night, I know you now, you're John. Which was my exact words, wasn't they, John? Apostrophe, your exact words, apostrophe, said John, laying his hand on hers. That's a very good arrangement, apostrophe, cried Mrs. Boffin. Keep it there, John. And as we was all of us in it, naughty you come and lay yours atop of his, and we won't break the pile till the story's done. Apostrophe, Mr. Boffin hitched up a chair, and added his broad brown right hand to the heap. That's capital. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Mrs. Boffin, giving it a kiss. Seems quite a family building, don't it? But the horses is off. Well, when I cries out that night, I know you now. You're John. John catches of me, it is true, but I ain't a lightweight, bless ye, and he's forced to let me down. Naughty, he hears a noise, and in he trots, and as soon as I anyways comes to myself I calls to him, Naughty, well I might say as I did say, that night at the bower, for the Lord be thankful this is John. On which he gives a heave, and down he goes likewise, with his head under the writing table. This brings me round comfortable, and that brings him round comfortable, and then John and him and me, we all fall a crying for joy. Apostrophe, yes. They cry for joy, my darling, apostrophe, her husband struck in. You understand? These two, whom I come to life to disappoint and dispossess, cry for joy. Apostrophe, apostrophe, Bella looked at him confusedly, and looked again at Mrs. Boffin's radiant face. That's right, my dear, don't you mind him, apostrophe, said Mrs. Boffin, stick to me. Well, then we sits down, gradually gets cool, and holds a confabulation. John, he tells us how he is despairing in his mind on account of a certain fair young person, and how, if I hadn't found him out, he was going away, to seek his fortune far and wide, and it fully meant never to come to life, but to leave the property as our wrongful inheritance forever and a day. At which you never see a man so frightened as my Noddy was. For to think that he should have come into the property wrongful, however innocent, and more than that might have gone on keeping it to his dying day, turned him whiter than chalk. Apostrophe, anew to, apostrophe, said Mr. Boffin. Don't you mind him, neither, my dearie, apostrophe, resumed Mrs. Boffin. Stick to me. This brings up a confabulation regarding the certain fair young person. When Noddy he gives it as his opinion, that she is a deary creeter. She may be a leetle spoiled, and naturally spoiled, he says, by circumstances, but that's only the surface, and I lay my life, he says, that she's the true golden gold at heart. So did you, apostrophe, said Mr. Boffin. Don't you mind him a single morsel, my dear, apostrophe, proceeded Mrs. Boffin, but stick to me. Then says John, oh, if he could but prove so. Then we both of us ups and says, that minute, prove so. Apostrophe, with a start, Bella directed a hurried glance towards Mr. Boffin. But, he was sitting thoughtfully smiling at that broad brown hand of his, and either didn't see it, or would take no notice of it. Prove it, John, we says, apostrophe, repeated Mrs. Boffin. Prove it and overcome your doubts with triumph, and be happy for the first time in your life, and for the rest of your life. This puts John in a state, to be sure. Then we says, what will content you? If she was to stand up for you when you was slighted, if she was to show herself of a generous mind when you was oppressed, if she was to be truest to you when you was poorest and friendliest, and all this against her own seeming interest, how would that do? Do? Says John, it would raise me to the skies. Then, says my Noddy, make your preparations for the ascent, John, it being my firm belief, that up you go. Apostrophe, Bella caught Mr. Boffin's twinkling eye for half an instant, but he got it away from her, and restored it to his broad brown hand. From the first, you was always a special favorite of Noddy's, apostrophe, said Mrs. Boffin, shaking her head. Oh, you were. And if I had been inclined to be jealous, I don't know what I mightn't have done to you. But as I wasn't, why, my beauty, apostrophe, with a hearty laugh and an embrace, I made you a special favorite of my own too. But the horses is coming round the corner. Well, then says my Noddy, shaking his sides till he was fit to make again. Look out for being slighted and oppressed, John, for if ever a man had a hard master, you shall find me from this present time to be such to you. And then he began. Apostrophe, cried Mrs. Boffin, in an ecstasy of admiration. Lord bless you, then he began. And how he did begin, didn't he? Apostrophe, apostrophe, Bella looked half frightened, and yet half laughed. But, bless you, apostrophe, pursued Mrs. Boffin, if you could have seen him of a night, at that time of it. The way he'd sit, and chuckle over himself. The way he'd say I've been a regular brown bear today, and take himself in his arms, and hug himself at the thoughts of the brute he had pretended. But every night he says to me, better and better, old lady. What did we say of her? She'll come through it, the true golden gold. This'll be the happiest piece of work we ever done. And then he'd say, I'll be a grislier old growler tomorrow. And laugh, he would, till John and me was often forced to slap his back, and bring it out of his windpipes with a little water. Apostrophe, Mr. Boffin, with his face bent over his heavy hand, made no sound, but rolled his shoulders when thus referred to, as if he were vastly enjoying himself. And so, my good and pretty, apostrophe, pursued Mrs. Boffin, you was married, and there was we hid up in the church organ by this husband of yours. For he wouldn't let us out with it then, as was first meant. No, he says, she's so unselfish and contented, that I can't afford to be rich yet. I must wait a little longer. Then, when baby was expected, He says, she is such a cheerful, glorious housewife that I can't afford to be rich yet. I must wait a little longer. Then when baby was born, he says, she is so much better than she ever was, that I can't afford to be rich yet. I must wait a little longer. And so he goes on, till I says outright, now, John, if you don't fix a time for setting her up in her own house and home, and letting us walk out of it, I'll turn informer. Then he says he'll only wait to triumph beyond what we ever thought possible, and to show her to us better than even we ever supposed. And he says, she shall see me under suspicion of having murdered myself, and you shall see how trusting, and how true she'll be. Well, Noddy and me agreed to that, and he was right, and here you are, and the horses is in, and the story is done, and God bless you my beauty, and God bless us all. ... The pile of hands dispersed, and Bella and Mrs. Boffin took a good long hug of one another. To the apparent peril of the inexhaustible baby, lying staring in Bella's lap. But is the story done? ... Said Bella, pondering. Is there no more of it? ... What more of it should there be, dearie? ... Returned Mrs. Boffin, full of glee. Are you sure you have left nothing out of it? ... Asked Bella. I don't think I have, said Mrs. Boffin, archly. John dear, said Bella, you're a good nurse. Will you please hold baby? ... Having deposited the inexhaustible in his arms with those words, Bella looked hard at Mr. Boffin, who had moved to a table, where he was leaning his head upon his hand with his face turned away, and, quietly settling herself on her knees at his side, and drawing one arm over his shoulder, said, please I beg your pardon, and I made a small mistake of a word, when I took leave of you last. Please I think you are better not worse than Hopkins, better not worse than Dancer, better not worse than Blackberry Jones, better not worse than any of them. Please something more. ... Cried Bella, with an exultant ringing laugh as she struggled with him, and forced him to turn his delighted face to hers. Please I have found out something not yet mentioned. Please I don't believe you are a hard-hearted miser at all, and please I don't believe you ever for one single minute were. ... At this, Mrs. Boffin fairly screamed with rapture, and sat beating her feet upon the floor, clapping her hands, and bobbing herself backwards and forwards, like a demented member of some mandarin's family. Oh, I understand you now, sir. ... Cried Bella. I want neither you nor anyone else to tell me the rest of the story. I can tell it to you now, if you would like to hear it. Can you, my dear? ... Said Mr. Boffin. Tell it then. What? Cried Bella, holding him prisoner by the coat with both hands. When you saw what a greedy little wretch you were, the Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.